U.S. prosecutors have indicted Florida-based journalist Timothy Burke for uncovering and sharing unaired portions of a Fox News interview between Tucker Carlson and Kanye West, in which West spouted some bizarro racist and anti-Semitic stuff. As reported by Kevin Gastola at The Dissenter, Burke obtained the video by following a link to live video feeds. He didn't need a username or a password to access them. They were not encrypted. Nevertheless, Fox claimed they were hacked, and the FBI raided Burke's home, took computers and electronic devices containing information he was working on for other stories, and he was charged with engaging in a conspiracy to defraud the U.S. government, violating a federal wiretapping law, and committing multiple offenses in violation of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. The Freedom of the Press Foundation condemned the charges, noting that seizing news gathering materials from a journalist is a prior restraint that stops the journalist from publishing news, which is why it almost always violates the Privacy Protection Act and the DOJ's own policies. The government response has been that Burke, like Julian Assange, by their definition, is not a journalist because, well, they say he isn't. Because they don't define journalism as an act of collecting and disseminating information that is in the public interest, but as joining some sort of card-carrying club whose membership they can police. This unfolding case has implications for all kinds of people, cop watchers, whistleblowers. But if legit reporters think they aren't in it, they're probably thinking wrong. As Gastola writes, this prosecution sends a clear signal to the news media that prosecutors will not hesitate to aid a powerful or influential corporation in suppressing investigative journalism. And all of this to protect Kanye West? Longtime health reporter Catherine Foxhall writes for FAIR.org about how the public's right to know is being affected by gag orders that prohibit government employees, among others, from speaking freely to reporters. It's called censorship by PIO, for the Public Information Office, to which media inquiries are routinely directed. That forced notification of higher-ups is enough to keep many workers from talking about anything that might displease the boss. A former head of the Centers for Disease Control said that controls on the agency got tighter with each White House, starting with Ronald Reagan. Because even though tightening access was often politically driven, there seemed to be no adverse political impact. And that, Foxhall says, has to do with the fact that though journalism organizations have been fighting against such controls for years, reporters themselves often don't disclose the hurdles they come up against or let readers know that they were unable to talk to lots of folks who might have had something revelatory to say. But part of the work of journalism is not just bringing stories to light, but making a story of the concerted resistance of the powerful to that effort. And finally, if you want to deny a problem, the first step is not to measure it. That's been big media and their federal enablers' strategy for decades, since the FCC suspended the requirement that broadcasters provide equal employment opportunity information. The FCC recently voted to reinstate the collection of data on race, ethnicity, and gender of broadcasters' employees, providing some level of transparency about whether those broadcasters are serving the public interest in terms of viewpoint diversity and racial equity. You're listening to Counterspin, brought to you each week by the Media Watch Group FAIR.